the impact of ARPA's lobbying efforts.
Almost everybody that we talk to cares about a particular issue, be it their children or education or what have you. What gets in the way is having the ability to be able to communicate those cares to the right people in the right way.
By the grace of God, ARPA can say that it was our ground game that contributed in a big way to this.
On the program this week, a comprehensive look at two recent ARPA lobbying efforts, one on Bill 24 in Alberta, the other on a federal bill involving criminal code protections for religious worship.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The focus of the program this week is on political lobbying. What works, what doesn't, and how we measure success. This is in the context of two bills. Alberta's Bill 24, which passed third reading in the legislature in Edmonton last week, and Bill C-51. That's a federal bill that was amended at the committee stage earlier this month. First to Bill 24. This is the so-called Act to Protect Gay-Straight Alliances in Alberta. This bill would, among other things, make it illegal for schools to inform parents if their children join a so-called gay-straight alliance. The bill passed third reading in the Alberta legislature last Wednesday. Just hours before the final vote was taken, the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms in Calgary announced that if the government was serious about passing the bill, it should know that there would be a court challenge coming. The Justice Center's John Carpe says it'll take a while to put the lawsuit together.
It does take a considerable amount of time to properly put together the affidavits that people are going to swear to. But as soon as the court papers are filed in early 2018, we will apply for an interim injunction until there's a full hearing on the merits.
Carpe says that means schools and parents in Alberta are going to get a bit of a reprieve from the effects of Bill 24.
It was to make it clear as well to schools and to parents that you don't have to comply with legislation that is not constitutional. For example, for schools to rewrite their policies and put in there things that are contrary to their own faith tradition. Schools don't have to do that. So it's a form of encouragement to encourage parents and schools not to comply with legislation that violates fundamental charter freedoms.
And there's one other point Carpe wants to make. He says this lawsuit is a last resort. People, he says, should not be looking to
our knight in shining armor lawyer that's going to take it to court and strike it down. It's okay to do that as a plan B, but the plan A has to be ongoing citizen engagement. That's really fundamental. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. It's people who understand and support the free society have largely withdrawn from the democratic process, so they've left the door wide open for people to bring in bad laws.
ARPA did a lot of citizen engagement on Bill 24. Grassroots manager Colin Postma says with the quick turnaround on the bill, less than 3 weeks from its first introduction to final passage, a lot of work had to get done very quickly.
Had a conference call the day after the bill was introduced and put a bit of a plan together. We ran a significant number of Facebook and social media ads that went out and reached a couple hundred thousand people. We got together a significant amount of money and put that towards radio ads, and we had 400 that were put out all across Alberta. So there's definitely been some positive results as a result of this. I mean, there's some discussion going on about how effective this was if ultimately the bill did pass. But I think there are some implications that come from this, particularly if we're saying to the MLAs in Edmonton, you know, this is something that the people on the ground are concerned about. There's some significant concerns here. And in the end, I think we're sending that message, and we sent it pretty clearly.
How clearly? The final upshot of ARPA's campaign on Bill 24 was impressive. The Easy Mail system generated almost 3,200 emails on the issue, the vast majority of them sent over the Remembrance Day long weekend. That set a record for the greatest number of emails sent through that program in the shortest amount of time ever. And then there was the vote itself. The bill passed by a count of 42 in favor and 23 opposed. The 42 who were in favor included 38 NDP members and a few independents. But that means 16 NDP members, almost a third of the NDP caucus, didn't show up for the vote. ARPA's Executive Director Mark Penninga says there's no doubt the campaign had an impact.
We don't know if it had a direct impact on whether NDP MLAs actually showed up for the vote. But what these Easy Mail letters did is it made democracy happen in a very timely way, in a very genuine way.
So was the campaign on Bill 24 a template for future lobbying efforts? Fenninger says it wouldn't be wise to rely exclusively on technology, be that easy mail or even phone calls.
The reason why I don't want to overemphasize the value of things like easy mail is because, as we explained in our fall tour this year, there is no replacement for genuine relationships. But there are situations when there's not enough time for people to form a relationship with those making important decisions, like on Bill 24. They just need to know that the public has concerns about something, and they need to know that fast. And tools like easy mail accomplish that. What we also find is that government officials sometimes don't want to hear negative feedback. We heard of a lot of Albertans trying to get through to the education minister on the phone, and the minister wasn't taking the calls, the minister's office, and they also allowed their answering machine to fill up and left it there, so people couldn't get their message through.
Mark admits it's sometimes been a challenge to motivate grassroots supporters to get involved in campaigns like this one, but he's confident that people are starting to understand how it works.
Almost everybody that we talk to cares about a particular issue, be it their children or education or what have you. What gets in the way is having the ability to be able to communicate those cares to the right people in the right way. There's no doubt that when we make it known to our grassroots that something needs to happen and fast, there's a lot of people who will follow through on that. And then when we give them the means, the tools to be able to do something about it, such as with easy mail, they'll take us up on it. In the past, the grassroots didn't have a whole lot of confidence when it came to their ability to make a difference. It's not that way anymore. We are increasingly seeing that we can have quite an impact if we do speak up. We also understand better that it's not just the outcome of a particular vote. We knew that Bill 24 would pass. It was a given, given the NDP majority. But that's not all there is to it. To see the UCP MLAs standing up and opposing this, for the first time in years that some of these MLAs have been willing to take any sort of public stand on social issues, that shows something very significant has changed. So I'm very encouraged when I see how quick Albertans and our grassroots in general are when it comes to being mobilized. And I think they also realize it's because it works. It's because it has an impact.
There was another easy mail campaign that ARPA was involved in earlier this month as well. This one involved federal politics. Earlier this month, Parliament's Justice and Human Rights Committee held hearings on Bill C-51. That's a bill that had included a section which would have repealed criminal code protections for religious worship services. It's all rather complicated, but the bottom line is that the committee voted to keep that section of the criminal code. For an explanation of the background to this, I'm joined by ARPA's Director of Law and Policy, Andre Schutten. Andre, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Al.
Can you give us a little bit of history on this whole bill? I mean, the bill was sort of an omnibus thing that was going to make a whole bunch of changes to the criminal code. Section 176 was just part of that. What's the background here?
The Liberal government made a commitment to clean up the criminal code, and they're doing that through a series of different bills where they're taking out provisions that have been struck down as unconstitutional, or they're removing ones that are obsolete, haven't been used in decades. And then also removing sections they believe are redundant. They're doing this through a number of different bills, including Bill C-51. And buried in the middle of C-51 is Clause 14, which purports to, or was going to, remove Section 176 of the Criminal Code, which makes it a crime to disrupt a religious worship service or to stop or hinder a religious official from going to that service.
And the expectation, I mean, you appeared before the committee, and the general feeling at that point, I think, was that this was pretty much a done deal. Was that the impression you got when you appeared there?
When I appeared, it was clear that the conservative members on the committee, there's three of them, that they were opposed to this change. The NDP member, there's only one, he seemed to be waffling. He wasn't really sure. He asked genuine questions and wanted to know really what was our side of the debate. How did we reason to the conclusion that we had? And then the Liberals, the ones who were asking questions anyway, they made it pretty clear that they were totally okay with removing Section 176. They were convinced that it's a redundant provision. They said, look, if you're causing a disturbance, if you're causing mischief, if you're interfering with somebody's travel or anything like that, that can all be covered by other sections of the code, like assaults or causing a disturbance. So, you know, what's the big deal? Our presentation certainly made it emphatic that no, this is a big deal, because disturbing a religious worship service is different in kind than disturbing a speech at a university or a protest in a public park or shouting and screaming during a hockey game. Like, those are different things, different in kind from religious worship services. And the example I used, and I hope it was effective, the example I used at the committee was, none of us would agree, none of us would say that we should get rid of sections in the criminal code that prohibit sexual assault. An argument hypothetically could be made, well, we have the prohibition against assault, and sexual assault is just a type of assault, therefore we don't need the special protections against sexual assault because, well, assault is a broad concept and we can certainly trust judges and prosecutors and police to make sure that if somebody has sexually assaulted someone that they properly get charged under the assault provision. The answer to that is, of course, sexual assault is different in kind from regular normal assault. Sexual assault is different than if I, you know, punch somebody on the street. And because it's different in kind, because it's so heinous, it needs a special denunciation, a special protection in the criminal code. And the same thing in an analogous way can be said about Section 176. Yes, there are certain provisions in the code that could cover similar types of things, but we need special denunciation for disturbances of religious services. And without Section 176, it sends a signal to society that says a worship service is nothing special. It's no different than a university lecture. It's no different than a speech on a political campaign. It's no different than a protest in a park. And we say that's not true.
So the committee changed its mind. To what do you attribute the turnaround on this thing?
So during the debate on clause by clause, it's called, so this is at the end of a committee hearing on a bill, they've studied the bill, they've had all kinds of witnesses present on it, then they go into what's called clause by clause, and they just go through every clause of the bill, and they vote, do we keep this clause, do we amend this clause, or do we cut this clause? And when they came to Clause 14, that's the one that we're talking about here, we had the NDP member, we had the Conservative members mention that they've been hearing about Section 176 and its importance for months now, and that there's been a trickle, I'm quoting the NDP member, he said, I've heard a trickle of correspondence on this, but it's turned into a veritable avalanche of communications, emails, and letters over the past weekend, he said. And Mr. Nicholson, who's the Conservative critic on that committee, he said that he received over the past weekend over 900 pieces of communication to keep Section 176. And I think that, by the grace of God, ARPA can say that it was our ground game that contributed in a big way to this. When we checked our easy mail system, we had put out a call to action the Friday before the weekend that these MPs are referencing. And on that call to action, we just asked people, please send an easy mail to request the protection of religious worship services. And you can do it through ARPA Canada's easy mail system. And when we checked on Monday morning, 1,200 plus ARPA supporters had sent an email. And so that corresponds to what we're hearing at the committee stage.
You know, I combined this with the 3,000 plus emails that went to Alberta politicians on Bill 24 last week. Is this the way it's supposed to work, Andre?
When it comes to political action on this file, I think it's been a great example of the requirement of Christians to do both prayer and work. It's not enough for us to just pray. Many people might have been tempted to just, you know, pray, please, Lord, protect religious worship services, make sure that the committee changes its mind and keeps Section 176. But if we just prayed and we didn't work, I'm not so sure that God would have been pleased to answer that prayer. But God is pleased to work through his people so that when they pray and then also turn around and work, they do send an easy mail, they do communicate with their MP respectfully and winsomely, then we do see God being pleased to bless our work.
So the bill goes back to the House now. The committee did suggest some amendments, I understand.
So when ARPA Canada was presenting to the committee, we actually proposed some amendments to the section. It is a bit older language. There's ways to rework it, to amend the language, and just make it a bit more modern language and to reflect the reality that we are in a pluralistic society today. So they dropped some terms, replaced them with more generic terms, and I'm pretty happy with the way the section now is worded.
Any chance this is going to be turned on its head again when it hits the House? Or do you think the parliamentarians, when it goes there and ends up in the Senate, will understand that this needs to be kept?
I would be surprised if it gets changed back again. I mean, it's possible. So we can't say for certain that this is a done deal. But certainly the heavy lifting, I think, is usually around the committee stage there. And I think that the House of Commons will respect what the committee is saying. It was unanimous at the committee level where Liberals, Conservatives and NDP were agreeing together that we really should keep this section. I think that speaks a lot to what's going on here. And I think we can expect that this section will stay.
Sir, thank you very much.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.